Jesus, the name above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. There is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. Exodus chapter 25. Got that recording? Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 and 9. We're continuing our series today entitled Heaven to Earth. And I'm looking forward to what God will do through this series and how God would open His Word and His way to us. Praise God. Exodus 25, verse 8 and 9 says, "And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and after the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it." God is giving some instructions to Moses on how to build the tabernacle. The tabernacle was that place where a holy God met with a sinful people here on earth in the Old Testament. We go to Hebrews chapter 8, which talks further about the tabernacle. It says, "Who serve," or "it serves unto the example and the shadow of heavenly things." The tabernacle plan serves as an example and a shadow of things in heaven. So the tabernacle plan was a shadow of heaven on earth. It says, "As Moses was admonished of God," and we read it, "when he was about to make the tabernacle for, see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. Lord, we come before you now with humble hearts. Lord God, ready to receive what you would speak to the church today. Lord God, help us to hear what you're saying corporately to us as a church. But also, Lord, that our spiritual ears would be open to hear what you're saying to us personally today. And Lord, we want to leave this place changed. Lord, help us to be not just be hearers, but doers of the word also, in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach the second part of this series, Heaven to Earth, but we're going to focus today on the brazen laver. Everybody say the brazen laver. The entire purpose of the tabernacle was that so a holy God could have a relationship with a sinful people. But this tabernacle plan was given so carefully and so specifically to Moses. And this relationship that a holy God could have with a sinful people could only function properly if the people put the tent together right. In Hebrews, it says, "Do exactly as I have told you, Moses. Set that tabernacle up exactly as I have showed you. The dimensions, the tent pegs, the skins, everything in that tabernacle must be set up as I have told you, Moses. Because if you don't, then I cannot show up with my power and my provision." If we want the provision of God, if we want the power of God in our life, and if we want the presence of God, we must follow the godly pattern in our life. You cannot just expect the presence of God in your life without some consecration and without some obedience to the Word of God. The tabernacle was God's original blueprint, God's original blueprint for relationship, and it foreshadows everything that would come later in the Word of God. In other words, our relationship with God must also follow the tabernacle plan. Now, I understand that God no longer dwells in tabernacles made with badger skins. He no longer dwells in that tabernacle in the wilderness. But now we, if you have been born again and filled with the Spirit, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, "I'm a temple." Now, God resides in me. When you are born again, when you are filled with the Spirit, God comes to live inside of you. And if you want the presence of God in your life, we've got to follow that original blueprint. Why? Because it is a shadow of heavenly things. It is an example. It is a blueprint of heavenly things. Now, as last week, I handed out a little sheet with the tabernacle plan for you to see, and hopefully some of you have still got that. But if you look at the tabernacle plan, you can see that it foreshadows the plan of salvation. We spoke last week about the gate, speaking about being humble. We spoke about the brazen altar, speaking of repentance. And we spoke about the laver of water, speaking about baptism. We spoke about the Holy of Holies, speaking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's also a foreshadowing of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And today, my main focus in this series is to show you that this tabernacle plan is also a way that we can get into the presence of God. We can bring heaven to earth if we follow the same blueprint that was given to Moses in the wilderness. So we emphasize the tabernacle plan, not just because I'm pulling some random thing out of the Old Testament, because as we read in Hebrews chapter 8, it is a shadow and it is an example of heavenly things. Praise God. Now, creation is covered in the Bible in approximately two chapters. That's creation. That's the creation of the whole world and the whole cosmos and the stars and the universe and the animals and everything like that. Two chapters. But if you care to look, the tabernacle plan has over 42 chapters given to it, to the layout of the tabernacle. You see, what can I read from that? What can I find from the fact that the tabernacle has 42 chapters and creation has two chapters? Let me tell you what it is. How to enter into the presence of God is more important than even knowing how the world was created. Being in the presence of God is more important than understanding the cosmos. Being in the presence of God is more important than understanding how the stars and how everything was made. The most important thing for us as Christians and as human beings, everybody on earth, is that we can get into the presence of God. That we can have a relationship with the one true living God. And that's what we all need here today. We don't need just a church service and some songs and a nice sermon and a cup of tea and a bit of cake. What we need more than anything is a daily manifestation of the presence of God in our life. What we need is a daily walk with God, a daily walk with our Savior, a daily prayer life, a daily repentance. That's what we need. Praise God. Our God is a God of order. I think I'm up to slide number 5 there. Our God is a God of order. When we look at the ark was made for the salvation of the family of Noah. But it was very specific. It had a very specific plan. We know that when they came out of the Passover and when they came out of Egypt, God gave them some very specific instructions about what they were to do with the blood of the lamb and how long they were to keep the lamb. God gave Moses some very specific instructions about the tabernacle plan. Our God is a God of order, and He is very specific about what He wants of His people. Last week, we touched briefly on the gate. The gate was the first place you came as you went into the tabernacle. To enter the outer court, to go even into the outer court of the tabernacle, one would have to come and they would have to bow down and lift up the gate. Now, we would think of gates as having two doors and you would peel them open and enter in. But no, the tabernacle plan had a different gate. It had one piece of cloth. You can read about what that cloth was made out of in the Bible. But it had one piece of cloth that hung down. And as they approached the tabernacle, if they wanted to go even into the outer court of the tabernacle, they had to bow down and they had to lift up that gate. That speaks of being humble when you come into the presence of God. The first thing you do when you come into the presence of God is you humble yourself before God. The scripture says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and He shall exalt you in due time. If you want to get into the presence of God, if you want to have power with God, it all starts by humbling ourselves. Everybody say humble. I got to be humble. You know how many people know that our flesh can quickly rise up and we can get proud and we can begin to think that we can do things on our own and we can begin to think that we've got everything under control. Let me tell you, we've got to stay humble before God. We've got to stay humble. Last week we talked also about the brazen altar. We entered not just to the court through the gate, but we came. The first thing you come to in that outer court is the brazen altar. And the first thing you see is that place of sacrifice. And we learned that last week in approaching God, no flesh can get in the way. Our flesh cannot get in the way if we want to have a relationship with God. We've got to climb up on that altar. We've got to climb up on that brazen altar. And we've got to crucify our flesh. And it speaks of repentance. Repentance is something that has to happen daily in our life. It is a continual turning away from our fleshly desires and turning towards God. Repentance. It is in the tabernacle they crucified a goat or a sheep, but in our plan here on earth and in approaching the presence of God, we also need to be repentant, and we need to die to our sinful lifestyle. We've got to die to our worldly ambitions. We've got to crucify our flesh. Only by laying down our old life of sin on the brazen altar can we become a new creation in God. We've got to lay down that old life. It speaks of repentance. Jesus said, nay, in Luke 13, verse 3, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent and be baptized. We've got to die to our flesh. You see, we're on our way to the Holy of Holies. We're on our way to that place where the Ark of the Covenant is and where the mercy seat is and where the presence of God falls. We're on our way there. But first, we've got to enter the gate by humbling ourselves. And Brother David pointed out last week that Jesus is the door. And if we lift him up, we've got to lift him up. And we've got to humble ourselves and lift him up. We enter in and then we get to the brazen altar and we crucify our flesh. We say, Jesus, I repent of my sin. I don't want to be driven by my flesh. I want to be driven by the Spirit. Lord, put that carnal mind. I want to put that carnal mind aside and I want to live a spiritual life governed by a spiritual mind. The scripture says, for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You see that priest as he would approach that Holy of Holies. He was not qualified to put on that priestly robe, to minister in that holy place, to minister in the Holy of Holies. He was not qualified until he had first humbled himself by entering through the gates. Until he had first sacrificed his fleshly desires and ambitions and sinful life on the altar. And the third one we come to today is the laver of water. Until he had washed himself in the laver of water. You see, those who are controlled by the flesh, they stay in the outer court. They stay outside of the tabernacle. If you're controlled by your flesh, only those who are controlled by the Spirit and who die to the flesh can go into the Holy of Holies. We sing that song, take me past the outer court. See, brothers and sisters, we've got to get past the outer court. We can't just keep going back to repentance and keep going back and getting back to humbling ourselves again, although we've got to do something daily. God wants us to be into the Holy of Holies. Take me past the outer court. I want to get into the holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Take me past the crowds of people, the priests who sing your praise. Lord, I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found in one place. Take me in to the Holy of Holies. How do we get into the Holy of Holies? Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take the coal off that sacrificial altar. Cleanse my lips here I am. We got to get past the outer court. And that's what this series is all about, is about helping us get into the presence of Almighty God. No matter where you are in your spiritual walk today, you should not be content to be outside of the tabernacle. You should not be content to be outside where the world congregates. We should also not be content to just remain in the outer court of the tabernacle, because this outer court is just a place that we pass through when we're getting into the presence of God. The laver of water. We're up to number 7 in a second there. I'll get you to play it. But the second object in this journey into the courtyard was this laver of water. And slide 7 is going to give you a little clip of the laver of water.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. Thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his son shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations.
Exodus chapter 30, verse 17 through to 21 tells us about the laver. The laver is called the brazen laver. It was made of brass. It was a place where the priests would come and they would wash their hands and their feet. And as the clip just said, the priests needed to wash their hands with water and their feet with water. Otherwise, they would die. They could not minister. They could not minister in the holy place. They could not go into the Holy of Holies without washing. The Hebrew word that is translated laver simply means a large basin of water. It's where we get the word lavatory from. It's the modern equivalent. We know at least about, we know not very much about the laver of water. It just tells us that it was made of brass. It tells us that there was water inside that laver and that the priests needed to wash before they went into the holy place. We don't see much information and definition about its size. We don't see anything about the depth of the laver. We don't see very much at all. But Exodus chapter 38 and verse 8, and you can turn there, just so you know I'm not just pulling some random fact out here. But this laver, this brazen laver, this bronze laver, Exodus chapter 38 and verse 8, it says this, it says, And he made the laver of brass, and the foot of it of brass. What was it made out of? Of the looking glasses. The brass was of the looking glasses of women assembling, which is assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, it is very interesting that this brass, back then when they made mirrors, they shined brass so they could see their reflection in it. Now, these brass mirrors were taken out of Egypt. And the brazen laver was made out of the looking glasses of women. We would call them mirrors. They were made out of brass mirrors. All we know about the laver is we know that it was made out of brass or brass looking glasses. They were melted down from the mirrors of women. It was a reservoir of water that the priests washed in. You see, it's significant. It's very significant that brazen laver was made of mirrors. It was made of mirrors. Because what do we do with mirrors? What do we use mirrors for? To look at ourselves, to see what we look like. That's what we use a mirror for. And the laver of water was made out of the looking glasses or mirrors of women. Next slide. You see, the priests who were in constant contact with dirt. They had just been there at the brazen altar sacrificing, and the courtyard wouldn't have been a very tidy place. They lived in a dirty world, yet they served to serve God. They had to be clean. And around the tabernacle, the priests supplied water daily for cleansing. And for us today, for us, everyone say me. The cleansing that we need comes from the application, listen carefully, of God's word. The laver of water in the tabernacle today speaks of the application of God's word to our life. Yes, it also speaks of baptism in terms of getting saved, but on a daily basis, on a daily means of getting into the presence of God, it speaks of washing ourselves with the word of God. John 15 verse 3 says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. You see, the word cleanses us. The word cleans us. If we go now to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 27, it says this, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the wash. Come on, read it out loud. With the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And see, as believers, we've got to examine our hands, which speaks of our service to God. We've got to examine our feet, which talk about our walk with God. And we've got to look at ourselves in that brazen, that looking glass of the word of God. We've got to look at our life in the mirror of the word of God and let it show us, let the word of God show us what we look like. It was made of looking glasses. John 17 verse 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You see, God's word points out the sin. God's word points out our shortfallings, and we've got to apply the teaching of God's word. We've got to apply the word of God to our life if we want to be cleansed. We've got to apply the word of God. We've got to look into the mirror, the looking glass of the word of God, and not just look at it, but apply it to our life if we want to be cleansed. So it was made of mirrors. I found that very, very interesting because James, and we can turn there, James, I think it's on the next slide, chapter 1, verse 22 to 24, says this, critical, every Sunday we come to church, we ought to remember this scripture. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. If you just listen to the word but don't do it, you're like looking at yourself in a mirror. For he beholds himself and goes away and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. He didn't apply it to his life. He looked into the mirror of God's word, and yes, he read God's word. Yes, he knew God's word. Yes, he saw what God's word said, but he didn't do the word. He didn't apply the word. It's like walking up to that brazen laver and looking in the mirrors of the brazen laver, but not applying the washing of the water by the word to our life. And there are many times we come to church and we hear the word of God and we even say amen in our heart and we even agree with what the preacher says. We even agree with the scriptures that have been read. And we look at ourselves and say, you know what? Something's got to change in my life. We hear the word. We look in that brazen, we look in the mirrors of that brazen laver, but we don't apply the word to wash us. We've got to be more than just a hearer. We've got to be a doer of the word. Because James said somebody that hears the word and doesn't do it is like, it's like me looking in the mirror and seeing that I got a big, sorry for the word, booger right on the end of my nose. And then I look at it and go, oh no, I've got a big booger on the end of my nose. But then I just walk away and go right to work and everybody else is looking at me. Because if you looked in the mirror and you saw that, what would you do? You would remove it. Correct? I only said that because that's probably the worst thing that could possibly happen when you look at your face in the mirror. But we've got to apply the word. We've got to wash ourselves with the word of God. So we've got to let God's word search us. The reason that so much of what we do is ineffective is because we are soiled. We are sinful people. And as we walk through this life of a sinful world, we pick up stains. We pick up sinful habits from our sinful nature. And if we want to be in the presence of God, we've got to be there and be clean before God. If we want to be blessed in what we do, we've got to apply the word of God to our life. You see, there is so much wisdom in this book. It's not just a book. It's not just a Bible. I mean, I can go find a golf Bible for you if you want. It'll tell you everything about golf. And the word Bible is thrown around very loosely these days. You can go get the Bible of birds or something like that. It's just a thing of information. But this is more than just a Bible. This is, what does it say on the front? The Holy Bible. The Holy Bible. It is set apart. It's different from anything else. It contains words that bring life. It's not just information. It is life-giving word of God. Praise God. So we need to let the word of God search us. That's a challenge. We've got to let the word of God search us. My question today is, how deep are you going to let the word of God search you? Oh yes, there's obvious things in our life that are obvious that people can see. Yes, but what about the hidden things that God wants to speak to us about? What about those deep things in our life that God wants to expose and search us so that we can be clean before Him? What about the unnoticed things of anger and bitterness and envy and pride and greed? We need to be like David in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. He said this, he said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." God, I want you to know my heart. I want you to know my heart, but not just my heart. I want you to know my thoughts. Even my thoughts, God, I want you to know it. And verse 24, he says, "And see if there be any wicked way in me. And God, lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God." Is that your prayer today? You want God to really search you? Come on, it's not going to be comfortable when God begins to search. But let me tell you, you're going to come out through that searching. You're going to come out as pure gold. He's going to lead you in the way everlasting if you would just let the word of God get deep in you and to know your heart and to know your thoughts and to search out the hidden compartments of your life, not just the obvious sins and vices, but the deeper things of anger and bitterness and envy and malice and pride and all of those things. We want God to cleanse us. So we've got to look deeply in the word and let the word look deeply in us. We've got to look in those looking glasses of the word of God. We've got to look into the mirror of the word of God, and then we've got to take the washing of the word and apply it to our hands and to our feet if we want to get into the presence of God. You got to humble yourself at the gate. You got to lay your fleshly desires on that brazen altar. And then keep going to the laver of water and look into that laver and see what you look like and apply the water of God's word. The laver is God's mirror. We look at it, it's bronze. Bronze also speaks of judgment. Everybody say judgment. Look up the meanings of all these words. You will see that bronze speaks of judgment. It's a type of God's judgment. And in the word, when we read the word, it begins to judge us. It begins to tell us what we're like. It begins to show us what we are like. John 15 verse 3 says, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Psalm 119 verse 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" How shall a young man cleanse his way? The second part of that scripture says, "By taking heed to the word of God." By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Young people, older people alike, if you want to cleanse your way, then start looking into the word of God. And not just looking, but start applying the word of God to your life. Make no mistake, God's word is powerful. God's word is powerful. Between verses 1 to 14 in Genesis chapter 1, we read a number of instances where you read the words, "And God said," in the first chapter of the Bible. "And God said." And God said, "Let there be light." And God said, he speaks things and they're created. God speaks and things are created. Make no mistakes, God's word is powerful, and this word is the same word that spoke the worlds into existence. This word can change your life if you will look into it and if you will apply what you read in the word of God. His spoken word, he created all things by his spoken word. And the secret that Satan doesn't want us to know is that he is destroyed by the power of the word of God. When Satan come to tempt Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus replies to Satan. He says, "It is written." He appeals to the word of God. What does God's word do in our life? It shows us what we're like. But more than that, it cleanses us from our impure thoughts. It cleanses us from the impulse to sin. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." If you want to start getting some strength against sin, start hiding the word of God in your heart. What about depression? Psalm 119, verse 28. "My soul melteth for heaviness." My soul is melting in heaviness. What's it say? David says, "Strengthen thou me according unto thy word." Even though it feels like you're in the deepest pit of depression, David described it like this. He says, "My soul is melting because I feel so heavy." And David says, "God, I need you to strengthen me in this time of depression by your word." "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The word of God can give you understanding. It can give you direction. Psalm 119, verse 114. "Thou art my hiding place and my shield, my hope in thy word." The word is our protection. We find fullness of life in the word of God. We find direction. "Order my steps in thy word," 119, verse 133 says. So we've got to apply the word of God to our life. We've got to look into the looking glasses, those mirrors, which is the word of God. But not just look, but apply it to our life. It cleanses us. It prepares us for our priestly functions. And we are all priests. We are a royal priesthood, a chosen people, a peculiar people, a people that belong to God. You see, the laver itself doesn't wash anybody. Just because you've got a laver, just because you've got the word of God on your bookshelf, doesn't wash you. Just because you read the Bible doesn't wash you. For it to be effective, the water of God's word must be applied to our life. We've got to examine ourselves. We've got to let God search us and expose us. And it's not just about thinking about the word of God. It's about applying the word of God to our life. It's not just about hearing the word of God, but it is about doing the word of God. And if we want to get to the next level in our spiritual life, we've got to humble ourselves, put our flesh on the altar, and start washing ourselves with the word of God. Let God's word search us. Let God's word reveal us what is wrong and what sin is in our life. And then wash ourselves by applying the word of God to our life. That's how you get into the presence of God. Now, this brazen laver had no measurements. I wonder why. God is very specific in everything that is in the word. Not one jot or tittle can be taken away. Now, we know by reading it that there were no measurements given to that brazen laver. Why were there no measurements? I believe the reason why there were no measurements because the word of God is unlimited in its ability to wash and to cleanse us. God's word is not limited. God's word cannot be boxed. It has no height. It has no depth. It has no weight. It has no design. God's word is unlimited in its power to change your life. Let me tell you, the more you get into the word of God, the more it can change you. Doesn't matter you've been walking with the Lord 70, 80 years. When you get and look into the mirror of God's word, it's going to keep working on your life. It's going to keep bringing power to your life. It's going to keep searching you. It is unlimited. And it's made of brass. We said before that that symbolizes God's judgment. And who has the final judgment as to whether we're spiritually clean? Who has the final judgment when we get to that great white throne judgment? The Bible says that on that great white throne judgment that the books will be open and will be judged according to the word. God's word has the final judgment. Now, I don't want to be judged at the great white throne judgment. I want to be judged now. I want God to judge me now through his word. And if you open up the word of God and you search the scriptures, God's word will search you and it will judge you now and it will correct your path. See, a lot of people, they're fearful about the great white throne judgment where God will judge all of us according to our life, according whether we're saved or not. There is a judgment day coming. But let me tell you, if you get into the word of God, you can be judged now and you can let the word of God search you and you can find whether there be any wicked way in you now and you can correct it so you're ready to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." How many people would rather be judged now than then? Sometimes that's why we like to endure hard preaching. Some people come to the pastor, they say, "Pastor, preach it hard." Why? Make them feel uncomfortable. They say, "I'd rather be judged now. I'd rather feel uncomfortable now than at that great white throne judgment. I want to feel uncomfortable, Pastor. Get me back on track. Don't go soft. Don't itch my ears. Don't scratch my ears. I want to hear. I want the word of God to expose and to search me because I want to be judged now, not then." Amen? The Lord has the final judgment. Let his word judge us. Let it search us. Let it purify us. And when the trumpet sounds, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Don't reject the cleansing of God's word. Amen. You can't proceed to the word, the laver. We go back a step now. We cannot proceed to this laver of the word of God without first going by the brazen altar. Remember, God is a God of order. Maybe you walk in and say, "Hey, just got to get in this gate. I'm a humble person, humbled. And we look at that brazen altar and sacrifice and symbolizes putting our fleshly desires on that altar. And we say, "You know what? Not up for that today. Just getting straight to the word of God." And we bypass the brazen altar and we go to the laver of water. We start to look into the laver of water. But let me tell you what's going to happen if you skip the brazen altar. Your flesh is going to be in control. And when you come to the word of God with pride, when you come to the word of God with your flesh, let me tell you, it doesn't work. You've all been there. Oh, skip that one. Not for today. God, just give me the lollipops and candy of your word today. No. When your flesh is in the way, God's word cannot speak to you. Because your flesh is going to control you. And the same is when we come into the house of God. We've also got to be in a repentant attitude when we come to the house of God. Otherwise, when the word of God comes forth, our flesh rejects it. And we say, "That's for somebody else. Oh, if Sister so-and-so could hear this message today, and if Brother so-and-so was here, he should really be hearing this message." You know why we have that attitude? Because we haven't crucified our flesh. Our flesh is rebelling against the word of God because we haven't killed the flesh. So we cannot get to this brazen laver. We cannot get to this powerful word of God when our flesh is still in the way. We can't see ourselves the way we're meant to see ourselves, in that brazen laver, in those looking glasses, if we haven't first crucified our flesh. And when you get through repenting, then you open the Word of God. And you've got to do this in your prayer time. When you've repented, and you ask God, forgive me of any sin. Cleanse me of any wicked way in my life, God. I confess my sin before you. My sin is ever before thee, God. We repent. And then we open up the Word of God. We've repented and we say, God, Lord, wash me with your Word. Show me, let me see, Lord, through your Word, what's got to change in my life. I want to be ready to go into that holy place with you. The Word of God is our mirror. It's our reference point. It shows us where we stand with God. Now, if I care about washing myself in the natural, summertime I like to have 2 showers, one in the morning, one before I go to bed. But if I care about washing myself in the natural, how much more should I care about what I look like and what I smell like in the spiritual? I'm getting right down to the nuts and bolts of right where we're at. Because a lot of us as Christians can perfect the art of looking like everything is right, because we think if we just look right in the natural, people would think that everything's right in the spiritual. But if I care about what I look like and what I smell like in the natural, and I wash myself in the natural, how much more should I wash myself with the Word of God, so I can look right and that I can smell right and that I can do the right things through the Word of God? When we get through repenting, we open up the Word of God and we say, Word of God, wash me, wash me. You cannot enter the presence of God without the Word of God. You cannot enter the presence of God with flesh. You cannot enter the presence of God with pride. You've got to humble yourself, lay aside your flesh, look into the Word of God and apply it to your life. I've got to get on that altar. I got to get on that altar daily. Like Paul said, I die daily. I got to get onto that altar. And I got to get into the Word of God. It's not a monthly subscription. It's not a weekly subscription. It's a daily subscription to the Word of God. Let me tell you, some of us have only got a weekly subscription, and we just listen to what the pastor preaches, and that's good. But you got to get a daily subscription to the Word of God, and it will give you strength. When you begin to look into the Word of God and you see what it says, you say, wow, I never knew that God was so strong on fornication. Yeah. Fornicators don't make it to heaven. I never knew God was so strong about unforgiveness. The Bible says if you can't forgive, that God can't forgive you. See, some of us are walking around with our head in the clouds. We don't even know what's going on. Why? Because we're not looking in the Word of God. Wash me with the Word. Wash me with the Word, God. I got to see myself. Show me my attitude. Show me how you see me, God. Let me see myself the way that you see me. It's a daily subscription. Some people, maybe even some people here, they read everything, but not the Bible. They won't miss the Sydney Morning Herald, the Daily Telegraph, the Canberra Times. They won't miss their blogs and reading about other people's lives and what other people are doing on holidays. And they won't miss those recipe updates. And they won't miss they can go through and they can name the whole lineup for every football team in the NRL. They can tell you how many plays, how many games they've played, how many tackles they've made. And they can tell you which club they came from and what their statistics are. They read everything, but not the Bible. Let me tell you one thing, 3 words. Time will tell. Come to the pastor's office. Pastor, need help. We're in a desperate situation. Oh, you know, and then suddenly, let me tell you, pastoral advice doesn't just happen in the office. It happens right behind this desk here as well. So much stuff. It's like going to a doctor and you, let's say you go to the doctor and you got gangrene on your foot. And you walk in there and say, look how bad my foot is. The doctor says, okay, so you've been coming here every week for the last 50 weeks. What about that medication and those exercises and the washing that I've been telling you to do and all of that? Have you been doing any of that? Oh, no, I didn't think I needed to do it. I just didn't get around to it. You know, those tablets, they're still on the shelf. And, hey, you told me to wash in the salt and the saline solution. Yeah, but still, just didn't get around to it, you know. I really couldn't be bothered. There were so many other things I had to do. There's my favorite TV show and, you know, outings with friends and all of that. But no, Pastor, just put that aside. Look at this gangrene leg that I've got. What's a doctor going to say? He's going to go, well, we're going to try and fix it. But if you had just applied what you had heard for the last 50 weeks in my surgery, the medication that I'd given you and the instructions that I'd given you, if you had actually applied that to your life, we wouldn't be here today. Some of the best counseling you can get happened right over this pulpit. Why? Because it comes from the Word of God. We need the Word of God to wash us. And it's not a monthly subscription. It's not a weekly subscription. It's a daily subscription. God, show me what I look like in your word. Expose to me. Show me, God, what's happening in my life. Show me, Lord, where I fall short. Search me, oh God, if there be any wicked way in me. Search me, God, I got to see. Oh God, I want to apply it to my life. The best book to read, Brother Michael from Sunday school, the best book to read is the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E, yes. That's the book for me. I stand on the B-I-B-L-E and the Sydney Morning Herald and the blogs and the encyclopedia and Wikipedia and the sports news. No, I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. This is the most important thing. You want to make it to heaven? You want to get in the presence of God? Want to get in the Holy of Holies? You got to look into the Word of God and you're going to apply it to your life. Two scriptures and we're finished. Isaiah chapter 58 verse 11. Please turn there in your Bibles. It's up there. 55 verse 11. Listen. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. God's word will not return void. But it will. What does it say? It will. Come on, more than one person in this place can read. It will accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper. Everybody say prosper. The word of God will accomplish and it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. John 4, verse 24. I love this. My favorite scripture for this whole sermon, kept it to last. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. If you hear the word, and that's not just hearing it with your ears, but hearing and doing, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death. What? Unto the Word of God can help us pass from death unto life. The Word of God can bring us salvation. The Word of God will not return void. You might be dead today, but the Word of God can bring you back to life. It will not return void. I got to look into the Word of God. I got to apply it to my life. God, I want your word to judge me now. Judge me now. We're on our way to the Holy of Holies. And some of us, what we need most in our life is that daily presence of God. Old preachers used to pray what they called praying the tabernacle. praying the tabernacle. I'm preaching about how to approach the presence of God using the tabernacle plan. And we can find salvation in the tabernacle plan. But we can also pray the tabernacle plan. When you kneel down to pray at that altar at home, that place, the first thing you do, Lord God, I go into that gate. You picture the gate in your mind. I humble myself before you right now, Lord Jesus. Lord, you're everything and I'm nothing. Not your will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. Hallowed be thy name. I praise you, Jesus. You're great. Glorify you and worship you. Lord, I thank you for picking me up out of the miry clay. Lord, I just can't do this on my own. I humble myself to you. We go through that gate. We get to that brazen altar and we say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. Oh God, even in the last 24 hours, I've failed you so many times. Maybe not just in my doings, in my works, but in my thoughts. Oh God, I confess that before you now. That thought that I thought about that person at work and the revenge and oh God, and I've been struggling with envy, jealousy. God, oh Lord, I want to die to that. God, that unforgiveness. Oh, I'm sorry. Lord, I repent of that. Lord, I want to turn my life around. I don't want to be controlled by my flesh anymore, God. Let your spirit control me. Lord, I climb up on that altar of sacrifice right now. Lord, put in my flesh there on that altar. God, I don't want to be carnally minded. I don't want to be fleshly minded, Lord. I just want to be spiritually minded. Lord, I crucify myself on that altar right now, God. Oh, Lord, don't search me, God. If there be any wicked way in me, search me. After we've been at that laver, that bronze altar, we go to the laver of water. It's a time in our prayer when we can begin to read the Word of God. Oh, God, as I open your Word right now, Lord, I want my heart to be humble and ready to hear what you're going to say to me. Lord, as I read your word, Lord Jesus, let it expose things in my life. Not just, Lord, the obvious things. Even, Lord, the stuff that I'm trying to hide from you. God, I look into that looking glass. I can see that I fall short. Lord Jesus, I want to apply the word of God to my life. God, I want to apply it to my life. As I read, Lord Jesus, help me to apply it. We're not going to stay in the outer court anymore. God, I don't want to stay in this outer court. Take me past the outer court. Take me past the brazen altar. Take me past the laver of water. Lord, I want to get out, not just in that place where the light is natural. Because there was only natural light in the outer court. But I want to get into that tent, shut in with God, where there is a supernatural light, where you are the light, Lord God. I want to get in there. Take me past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Take me past the crowds of people, the priests who sing your praise. Oh God, I hunger and thirst for your righteousness. And it's only found in one place. Oh God, take me into the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. We thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice that made a way for us to even to be able to approach you, God. Let's all stand in this place right now. There's a beautiful presence of God right here.